Headlines.
From Washington, D.C., the capital of the divided states of America, it's time for the radio show that takes you inside both sides of the issues that matter. On the right, I am Republican investigative reporter Lee Stranahan.
And on the right, I'm Mike Hirsch, the National Communications Director for Progressive Democrats of America.
Mike, I'm going to let you try that again. Which side are you on?
I'm on the left side.
There you go. You just said right. So
see, well, I mean correct side.
Okay, that's good. Okay. You are listening to the most disruptive radio show in America. It's time for Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan and special guest Mike Hirsch. I just didn't want to hurt your reputation there, Mike.
It could have come back and haunted me.
Exactly right. On today's show, we have some breaking news about Donald Trump and North Korea, and then we're going to be talking about... We're actually going to be talking about the North Korea thing a couple times in the show, but then we'll be talking about Google. Google let go an employee for writing a controversial memo about diversity. We'll be talking about that in round one. In round two, we'll be talking about investigations. Perhaps you've heard of them. Congress has been investigating Donald Trump. The Democrats were calling for investigations, but is it a double-edged sword as new information has surfaced about former Attorney General Loretta Lynch? And in the third round, we'll be talking about that new North Korea news, and we'll be talking about sanctions that the U.S. has put in place against Iran, against Russia, and against North Korea. Are they backfiring and having unintended consequences? All that, and possibly more verbal gaffes, on today's episode of Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan. See, Mike, what we're doing is we're keeping it real.
That's what we do here. We keep it very real.
It's real muddled so far, but that's okay, because I screwed up too.
It happens.
It does. It does. You know, here's the thing. What we should say is we're doing four-dimensional chess.
Sure. If it's really two-dimensional tic-tac-toe, but who's counting?
That's right. So let's talk about the breaking news first, because this just came in about 15, 20 minutes before we went on the air.
Moving at the speed of a tweet.
It is. Donald Trump has, in a statement to reporters, said that North Korea will get fire and fury for recent threats against the United States. Now, the background to this is the new information that came out this morning that North Korea has a miniaturized nuclear weapon that can go on a intercontinental ballistic missile, and also that Pyongyang, which is also, by the way, if you're going to have verbal gaffes,
that's a good one.
Yeah, try saying the word Pyongyang.
Right, that's not easy.
It's all, and it's harder to spell.
Yes, especially in Korean.
So Pyongyang has also been threatening. They made a very explicit threat against the United States, and this is all in the wake of sanctions. So we want to get that. I'm sure we're going to talk about it tomorrow, Mike. In fact, it will probably most likely be the lead story, because Trump's statement is, shall we say, incendiary. Is that okay to say that? I think when he says fire and fury, is incendiary a bad pun or accurate?
I think it's pretty accurate. And then, you know, for a second, I thought it might be the sequel to Fast and Furious 8 or whatever they're up to. So I don't know.
Fast and Furious Infinity. And look, we're going to be talking about some of this stuff in the third round, too. So you'll want to stay tuned. By the way, let's do all the usual stuff. If you're listening to us on 105.5 FM, home of the old grass.
It's not bluegrass. This is the new grass.
That's right. Well, actually, there was a group called New Grass Revival. Have you heard of them?
I have not.
Bela Fleck.
Bela Fleck.
Was in New Grass Revival. See,
oh, there you go.
See,
you learn something new all the time.
You learn more about history and music every day here.
Well, we
on
better
the show.
Get off of this before people think that there is going to be bluegrass, because you're kind of going over that.
But anyway, if you're listening on 105.5, in the swamp here in D.C.
Which is not drained, by the way.
It is not. It's not drained, although it should be after all the rain yesterday.
Right. Well, you know, I guess Donald Trump is swamping the drain, as people say.
Swamping the drain?
Swamping the drain.
Is that what people say?
That people have told me that.
Anyway, if you're listening to us, you can also check out replays of the show. You can also listen to us on Sputnik News. You can also watch us on Periscope. My Twitter handle is Stranahan, and you could be watching us right now. Do me a favor, retweet and share this. Let people know. Every segment, we do a different Periscope So make sure to retweet these. Also, you can watch us live multi-camera on Facebook. Just check out the Facebook Sputnik page. You can check us out there. Also, you can listen to replays of the show, subscribe on iTunes, or go to Spreaker. And I got to mention, I mentioned it at the top of the hour, but it's Fault Lines and Nixon and Stranahan. But Garland Nixon is, the great Garland Nixon is out this week, and Mike Hirsch is filling in for him.
Trying to fill in.
Ably filling in for him this week. So let's talk about this Google thing, because we talked about it beforehand. This made news a few days ago because a employee at Google took it upon themselves to write a memo that was critical of Google's diversity policies. And that memo started to get some play. It got out somehow. Let me put somehow in air quotes. Because I think there's a reason it got out.
There always is a reason.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is. But it's to push someone's agenda. It could be his. I don't know if he didn't get it out, knowing that it would cause a backlash, or I don't know if somebody who didn't like him got it out. But that's one of the things that's interesting about this story is it's created the Streisand effect in the sense, if this guy had just written the memo and it had been seen by a few executives and nobody had talked about it, we wouldn't be talking about it now.
We wouldn't even know about it.
We wouldn't know about it. Exactly right. But it's opened up a conversation about a few things, about the rights of companies to fire employees, about the issues in the memo, diversity. But what happened was the memo came out. It's been spilled for a few days. People on the right have been talking about it. And some people on the left have been talking about it as well. And now Google has said that they fired the guy. His name has come out. Julian Assange from WikiLeaks tweeted about it today. And so that's where we are. So there we go. There's the whole mess.
Well, there's a little bit more to the mess. It's the very forward-thinking, supposedly, the very supposedly liberal Silicon Valley has a bro culture that they call it, or frat boy culture, that a lot of women have found oppressive and uninviting. And there's been a lot of embarrassment. There have been charges of sexual harassment, discrimination, all kinds of things like that. Before Google, there was the Uber mess where people were fired over that all the way up to the top because of credible charges of discrimination and harassment and so on and so forth. And it's kind of runs through our entire economy. Women are underpaid versus men doing the same work, same job, often doing even a better job and getting paid less. And Silicon Valley is plagued by it as much as pretty much our entire economy is, our entire society is. And, now Google is just the latest on the hit parade of people who are not taking care of, dealing with discrimination in a positive way.
Well, here's the thing. If we were on a normal network, if we were on Fox or CNN, what would happen is I would take the traditional cliched right position and Mike would take the traditional cliched left position.
Right. We'd be reading from our scripts.
And I still reserve the right to do that. But let me relate this to another story, the Eric Bolling suspension story. Eric Bolling over at Fox News was suspended recently after allegations came out where a woman named Caroline Heldman accused him, among other people, of that. And here's the interest. Now, do you know Caroline at all?
I do not.
She's an Occidental College professor. And when this came out, a lot of people on the right said she's a leftist. She's dishonest. Why is she bringing this up years later? Well, let me tell you about that story. It recently broke. That broke in Mother Jones. A writer named Andy Kroll broke that. I'm the one who told Andy Kroll about the Eric Bolling thing about 6 months ago. And the reason I did it is my friend Brandon Darby used to date Caroline. And he told me years ago, I know Caroline. I dated her. She showed me her phone and how guys like Bill O'Reilly and Eric Bolling and this guy Woody were sending her things. And my friend Brandon saw this with his own eyes, right? She held up the phone and said, take a look at Look at what I'm...
So you didn't see her phone, but somebody that you know pretty well
that
and
I know,
you can vouch for.
And trusted and said it years before this came up.
So this, yeah. So
and so when the O'Reilly stuff started to break, Brandon said, well, remember I told you about that. This is happening. And Eric Bolling's part of it too. So I called Andy. Because here's the thing. Since he works for Fox, the idea is, see, why didn't I go to Breitbart? Because they never would publish it. Does that make sense?
It does. And it's interesting. What you're providing for our listeners is a very rare insight into how this stuff works.
And by the way, the way I got my start in journalism was I covered the John Edwards story and I got kicked off Daily Kos for reporting on that.
And who ended up being right on that?
Yeah, me,
okay.
Of course. But I'm just saying, I said, I'm not a hypocrite on this stuff. And here's the other thing that's interesting about it. I think it's interesting, too, that Caroline, who's, I don't know her at all, but she's clearly, she's on the left, she's a feminist, that's who she is. She worked with Brandon at a Common Ground. Katrina, that's who she is. But it's interesting to me that she chose to keep doing stuff with Fox when she was being treated like that. In other words, the reason she didn't come forward is because she didn't want to lose access to Fox. Now, I think it's valid to question that as well. Does that make sense? In other words, I'm not saying what happened to her was right. I'm saying that...
I think that's kind of shaky ground. And, you know, I think people are free to speculate on anything they want, just like this guy at Google speculated that women aren't good at technology. And that's the reason why Google has to reach out and find women who are good at technology. It's, you know, that's a farcical statement that this guy made. I think he has the
I think
he has the right to be a jerk and be wrong and not lose his job.
We'll talk about that. But I don't know about that either. Here's my take. There are biological differences between men and women. There are, in fact, biological differences.
Right. Women tend to have certain abilities above men, and men
absolutely
try to catch up.
Absolutely. And I think it's based in biology. Here's the short version. Women tend to, for biological reasons, look, the way the species propagate is that women have babies and take care of babies, and men are doing the stuff to bring the food back to the women and the babies.
This that's a little bit like Newt Gingrich's Guide to Biological Differences, where he was just like completely wrong. And
well,
again,
what am I wrong about? Just stop me.
Well, what you're wrong
who
about?
Who has babies?
Well, that part is clear. You're off to a pretty decent start.
And men, generally speaking, are bigger, stronger. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And
there's a reason for that biologically.
And being bigger and stronger doesn't enter into being able to code or to do other high tech tasks. Unless you're like hitting the keyboard harder or something.
I didn't make that jump yet.
No,
that's
what I'm saying is you got to be careful because you start wandering down this thing. There are biological differences between men and women. Clearly there are. But it's fallacious and demonstrably wrong to say that women are biologically inferior to men when it comes to technology or really anything else in the modern world.
That's not what I'm saying.
No, I know, but I'm just trying to guide it back to the
Google
thing.
Let's bring it up. But I want to make it, so I just want to make it clear. That's not what I'm saying. And also on the Fox thing, I'm not saying that Caroline deserved it or that anything like that. I'm saying I think there's interesting conversations to be had. That's what I'm saying.
Well, no, I think that you're absolutely right about that. I think women are faced with dilemmas that a lot of men don't have to face because when women enter into a professional workspace, whether it's Fox, whether it's Google, whether it's Uber, you name what it is, women are often hit on by men and made, other unwanted advances by men. By men who can give them access, like you're talking about with Fox, or can give them a promotion or loan them money if they're a venture capitalist
to help
them launch a business. And women have to deal with this, and very few men have to deal with that.
And I've said
situation.
The same thing. I've talked to, for instance, conservative women, Michelle Malkin, Michelle Bachman. These are people who I know, right?
And they're very conservative women.
They're very conservative women. And the misogynistic attacks that they get online. In other words, it's one thing to say I don't agree with Michelle Malkin because her policy on this is blah, blah, blah.
Right. She's wrong about this, or I disagree with her about that.
Well, you remember Malcolm X had a line. Malcolm X had a line, which I'm paraphrasing. It was basically is, what do you call a black man in America with a doctorate? And the answer is the N-word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So what I've said is, what do you call a woman like Michelle Bachmann, who is an accomplished, she's an attorney, she was a tax attorney, she's done stuff. Whether you agree with her policies, she didn't just, right? And as a human being who adopted 20 plus kids, she had 20 foster kids, right? In addition to 5 kids of her own. I said, what do you call an accomplished woman who enters politics? And the answer is the B word or the C word
sure.
or whatever.
And, you know, we've discussed on the air that I don't agree with Hillary Clinton on a lot of issues.
Right.
But I've supported Bernie Sanders in the primaries. Some of my fellow Bernie supporters used the C word, the B word, every kind of word against Hillary Clinton. And I would tell them, knock it off.
Yes.
That's not what Bernie would want you to do. You're not advancing any ideas.
That's right. That's exactly my view, too.
There's no place for that.
I also didn't like it when people, for instance, on the right would criticize like Michelle Obama's looks. Because there's a lot of things I can criticize Michelle Obama about. The way she looks ain't one of them.
No, I think that people, you're right. It's universal. It goes all the way across the spectrum. And it's a cheap and disgusting way of kind of trying to keep women in their place by putting them down and questioning their ability and attacking their appearance and using hurtful epithets. And there's not really even a comparison to men.
Now, the other thing that happened in this Google thing that I think is interesting is this guy wrote a memo attacking political correctness, and then he essentially got fired for politically correct reasons because he had the wrong, this is what it is, he had the wrong opinion. In other words, there wasn't a goal of like, hey, let's talk about it. And his point was, let's talk about it. And by the way, it sounds like he's getting ready to sue Google for discrimination. Now that's an interesting, because here's what happened. If he was a woman who was suing Google for discrimination, a lot of people, I've seen people on the right on this Fox thing who just defend Eric Bolling because A, he's on the right and B, he's a guy. And they'll say stuff like, well, I don't understand why she waited 7 or 8 years to report this. Well, I do. I get it. But by the way, I'm also willing to hear the argument that why didn't she call it out at the time? In other words, it wasn't like she needed, it wasn't her sole job. So it raises interesting questions.
Right. There are a lot of complex reasons why people did or didn't do things. But, you know, I find one of the weakest defenses against an accusation is, yeah, I did it, but why are you bringing it up now?
That's exactly right. Anyway, coming up, we'll be talking about our investigations, a double-edged sword, that and more coming up on Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan with guest host Mike Hirsch all this week.
Fault Lines. Fault Lines.
We are back, and you are listening to the most disruptive radio show in America, a show hosted entirely by Russian bots. This is Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan, with guest host Mike Hirsch, Communications Director of Progressive Democrats of America, filling in all this week for Garland Nixon. So let's talk about these investigations, and in particular, this new Loretta Lynch. And again, look, here's the thing. You know, we say in the show that it's the divided states of America. And by the way, I wrote that. So
it's a good job.
It's
a good hook.
It's a good hook. But here's the thing. I think the thing that people get is Mike and I have talked and we've argued and we will and blah, 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 because we don't agree on a lot of stuff policy wise. That being said, I think one of the interesting things about this show and the reason it's so disruptive is it shows there are areas that people who are at two diametrically opposite ends of the policy spectrum, in theory, can agree on. And this thing with Loretta Lynch, I'm going to point out for the record, I'm not a Loretta Lynch fan at all. And by the way, I'm not going to call her the B word right now, because we just went over that in ground one. But the point is, I'm not a Loretta Lynch fan at all, but you're the one who brought this topic up.
right.
as something we should cover on the show today.
Right.
And it's, again, it's not because she's a woman or a minority or blah, blah, blah. It's because I think you're concerned as a Bernie supporter and as a progressive about the influence that Hillary Clinton and that, can I say cabal? I think I can say cabal. I don't know how else to put it. She's got a group of people.
Maybe a vast conspiracy.
Vast conspiracy, to use Hillary Clinton's own term, has exerted over the DNC in particular. And Loretta Lynch is part of that. And this has to do with that Loretta Lynch tarmac meeting with Bill Clinton, right?
Exactly. And what I find intriguing about this story, and the reason I did suggest we talk about it, is that it has these odd echoes and symmetry with what's going on the other side. And that's why I kind of said, demanding these investigations, the Democrats are, by and large, of two minds. You have the progressive Democrats like me who want to get to the business of the country. And Lee and I disagree on a lot of policy positions, but we actually agree on a lot of policy aims. And as a matter of fact, overwhelmingly, the people of the United States agree on a lot of things. We agree that there should be jobs. We agree that the environment should be safe. We agree that people should have health care. There's a whole bunch of things we agree on. We might fight tooth and nail on how to get there. Okay. There is a small group that doesn't agree with Lee or me or progressives or libertarians or a bunch of populists. Those are the elites. And they believe that the United States should be the piggy bank for them, that they should be able to cut deals with their donors and basically shaft the American people. And both Lee and I and Garland, when he's here, and Eugene does a great show on these airwaves. Many of us are very frustrated by this. And we see increasingly that the problem isn't left versus right. It's the elites versus the rest of us. And I'm taking a little tour to get to here, but here's the point. When Trump got in trouble, he started using a pseudonym and reached out to people in the media.
And that was a big, this was
it
years,
was a huge story.
Years ago.
Well,
this happened, but it happened like 10 years.
It was laughable. It was laughable. And now that Loretta Lynch is doing the same thing, I find it equally laughable.
Well,
let's talk
about that, because the Trump story, just for people to get reminded, it came out during the election that previously, when he was basically promoting his real estate business venture, so it's not as big a in that sense, it's not as big as a deal.
No, well, we can talk about whether, this laughable thing is more important than that laughable thing.
Yeah.
The common ground to me is that there's this use of pseudonyms where these people think that they can sneak around and get it over on somebody, and they get caught.
So it came out in the election that Donald Trump had used a fake name. And when people would call up and say, it would be the equivalent of if someone called me up and said, yeah, let me get my publicist. Yeah, hi, this is Bob Johnson from, I'm Lee's publicist.
Or what was Anthony Weiner's pseudonym that he had?
I forget what it was. It wasn't Carlos Danger. That's what, I remember that for sure.
It was not.
It was definitely not Carlos. That was Anthony Weiner. And by the way.
No, that's what I'm saying, was Anthony Weiner's was Carlos Danger.
Oh, that's where I thought,
laughable. This is what I'm saying is. And the truth about these elites, can I call them elites?
But explain what happened with Loretta Lynch. Listen, people haven't read the story.
Well, why don't you do that?
Okay, so what happened was a couple of conservative watchdog groups, like my friends over at Judicial Watch, had filed FOIA requests. And Judicial Watch is great about filing FOIA requests. And basically,
that's Freedom of Information Act requests.
Right.
It's designed so the public, the citizens, can keep an eye on what the government's doing, and the government can't hide these things and say, oh, no, you don't deserve to know about this.
Well, and let me just say something about FOIA requests before we finish this story. I remember when FOIA requests, when I was growing up, do you remember who used to file FOIA requests all the time? The media, to expose people like the CIA.
They're all different reasons.
And the FBI.
Sure.
But do you remember this? Like in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, Ralph Nader was involved in that. And,
And you'd think it's unfortunate to me that it's left to I you know, you could call them conservative groups, and they are, but really, I know Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch. I've talked to Tom, and really, he's trying to expose corruption. Now, again, he comes from the right.
That's what it really comes down to, though. That's what these FOIA requests are supposed to be for.
That's what it is. It's not him. Right. It's and why isn't the Washington Post or the New York Times? And I think we know the answer to that. It's because they're promoting this. So anyway, they filed a FOIA request about this tarmac meeting with Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton. And you got to remember, when this came out, that Loretta Lynch had talked to Bill Clinton for a half hour while his wife was being investigated by the DOJ. You remember who was worried about that? We only found this out about a month ago. It was James Comey from the FBI.
Yes. Yeah, he referenced it.
He was very upset about it. Now, I'll tell you who was not upset about it was the American media. The mainstream American establishment media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, they kind of buried the story. The right media, Breitbart and Fox, and that's why I'm okay. You know, let's face it. Here's what we have for a media system in this country right now. It's what I call an adversarial media system. It's like you have got a prosecutor and a defense attorney. We've got a left media and we've got a right media. Now, unfortunately, they both toe the line for the establishment too much, but whatever. So anyway, this came out. Loretta and Judicial Watch did a FOIA on that tarmac meeting, and it turned out that Loretta Lynch had been using a pseudonym.
Right.
In emails about this. Now, let me say this in her defense. The claim is that that's commonly done because they want to keep people's inbox clean and they want to do stuff like that. But let me tell you something about that, because I get that. Let's say I launched a special project. I can understand having a separate email box just about that project, but I'll tell you what I would do. I would use LStranahan3 or LStranahan5. I wouldn't use Billy Johnson. Does that make sense? I wouldn't use a made-up name. That's where
right,
the logic of this...
There's no reason for the made-up name.
Yes.
There's a reason for a different email box.
Right. That makes sense to
me.
You
don't need a different name to have a different email.
Yes. Or some variant or some... The name of the project, right? Fire McMaster 123 at... Whatever. You see, that makes sense to me. But literally a fake name? That doesn't make any sense to me. And that's what happened, right?
Well, that implies that there's something to hide. Right?
That's
the concern. And when the FOIA request came back, probably heavily redacted, have they found anything specific?
About what?
In response to the FOIA request.
Well, they have. Here's what they found out. They found out that the DOJ was very concerned about it. What they found out was...
Concerned about the meeting.
Yes.
Specifically.
And concerned about the media reaction to the meeting. What they found out for sure is that there was, I'm going to use their phrase, a flurry of activity.
Well, I'm going to say something right now. I don't want the Department of Justice concerned about the media. I want them concerned about justice. I don't want them to consider doing the wrong thing, doing the right thing, whatever, based on what the media is doing. Because when you're concerned about that, you're getting very close to cover-up territory. And I want to say something. I don't know Loretta Lynch personally. I've seen her speak. I've been in an event where she spoke. She's a very impressive woman. She's very smart. She's very capable. And that's why she got the job. But I have a lot of concerns about this story, about the pseudonym, about the tarmac meeting, about what happened after the tarmac meeting. There are a lot of questions here. And one thing I don't like are cover-ups. And if this is a cover-up, I hope this is investigated, and I hope that the cover-up is uncovered, and I'm let the chips fall where they may type of person. If Trump is involved in a cover-up, I want him investigated. I want the chips to fall where they may. If Hillary Clinton is involved in a cover-up, Bernie Sanders is involved, it doesn't really matter to me. If you're involved in a cover-up, I want it to come to light. I don't like cover-ups. It's very simple. It doesn't matter who you are. I just don't like it.
Well, so here's Loretta Lynch was using the name Elizabeth Carlisle. That's the email alias that she used. And by the way, Eric Holder also used a pseudonym. Now, I'll tell you what else this reminds me of. when the Clinton emails started to come out, and when the DNC leaks and that thing started to come out, we learned that Chelsea Clinton, do you remember this? She used the name Diane Reynolds. I wonder if Diane Reynolds knows Elizabeth Carlisle. I just wonder.
I wonder if they're like hanging out together in a chat room or something.
Do you know what it reminds me of? These seem like names from a 50s soap opera.
Right, or like the secret identity of his superhero.
That's right. Yes, that's exactly right.
Clark Kent or something.
That's exactly right. I got to say, of the three, Elizabeth Carlisle, Diane Reynolds, or Carlos Danger, I think Carlos Danger is the clear winner for a pseudonym.
Most creative.
It is clearly the most creative and the most modern. But Elizabeth Carlisle.
It has like a 50s ring to it, doesn't it?
It also sounds like it could be a obscure, like the sixth contestant on Match Game who you don't know who it is. It's like Charles Nelson Reilly. It's like Nipsey Russell.
Yeah.
And then Diane Reynolds. And
whose job seems to be going on
exactly
game
right.
shows.
That's exactly right. So she used the name Elizabeth Carlisle. And what's interesting is Eric Holder.
I think there was a Kitty Carlisle.
There was Kitty Carlisle. That's right. That's what my subconscious is dredging
up. There you go. Yeah.
And I have no idea what else Kitty Carlisle did.
I don't think much of anything.
That's right.
I mean, maybe she had a storied career that we don't know about on Broadway or something.
Charles Nelson Reilly was at least on Uncle Croc's Block, which, by the way,
was
that's
he?
Just showing how old I am.
Yeah, no, he was also hilarious.
Yeah, no, he was. Yeah, he was very funny. Yeah, and a character.
Yes.
Charles Nelson Reilly was from that era of people like Charles Nelson Reilly, Paul Lynde.
Yes. Yep.
These other sort of character actor comedians who had a very definite persona.
And they were on shows and in movies and things.
Yeah.
You know, they had a career beyond Password.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but Kitty Carlisle, who knows? But what's interesting is Eric Holder did this too. And again, I got to say, you know, the same thing with Chelsea Clinton. And by the way, part of this was she was on that private email server that Hillary Clinton had. And by the way, here's the thing. If you're investigating Hillary Clinton for having a private email server where someone's got a pseudonym, and then you use a pseudonym, that's a real Carlos Danger move in the sense that, see, the fascinating thing about the name Carlos Danger to me, because I interviewed one of the women who he had a relationship with, Anthony Weiner had a relationship with, Sydney Leathers. I interviewed Sydney Leathers.
Not her real name.
That's her real name. That's her real name.
Well, maybe she changed.
No, that's her real name.
Born to the Leathers family?
Yes, her real name is Sydney Leathers. It was stunning to me as well.
Well, that's a shocker.
It is. But I interviewed Sydney Leathers, lovely young woman. By the way, would agree with your politics. She was so happy when Bernie ran. Because that was, by the way, that was Anthony Weiner's MO. It was progressive women who liked Anthony Weiner. So I asked her, I said, do you think Anthony Weiner wanted to get caught? And she said, oh, yeah. That was part of his, there are men.
Part of the danger.
That's exactly right. Part of the Carlos danger, shall we say. But that's exactly right. So it's almost like she wanted to get caught here. But I think here's the
bigger. No, he wanted to get caught.
No, I'm saying Loretta Lynch, too.
Oh, Loretta Lynch. I'm saying she wanted to get caught, too.
I'm saying, yeah.
When you cry for help.
When you're using, exactly right. When you're using a pseudonym, when you're investigating someone's private email server. Now, I will say this in Loretta Lynch's defense. The mainstream media is never going to cover this story the way they covered Donald Trump using a pseudonym when he's trying to hawk real estate. They're never going to cover. This is going to get a little bit of play, a story here, a story there.
Well, let's challenge the media. Do your jobs and uncover this because, you know, you'll sell papers, you'll get ratings. This is of interest to me. It's of interest to Lee. It's of interest to a lot of people.
It would be.
Do your damn job.
But you know what? They don't. They're not going to do that. And here's why.
See, Lee is challenging you. He's calling you out. He's saying you're not up to it.
I've spent 10 years challenging these boneheads.
He says you're not going to do it.
Well, but you know why they won't do it? Because here's what the reality is in media right now. Most media companies, see, media is a loss leader.
I agree.
So here's the way it works. Let's take infrastructure, right? It's hard to make money on a road. You don't make money on a road, right? But you need roads in order for commerce if there's no roads, people can't get to the store to buy stuff.
Well, you know, every corporation has public relations and all
yes,
that.
That's
they
right.
Take, they buy advertising.
That's right.
And if you're going to buy advertising for more than it costs to own the station that you're advertising on, why don't you own the station so you can get the advertising for free?
Bingo, that's exactly right. So the establishment has figured out that media on both sides, and by the way, new media, it's clearer. For instance, Breitbart, it came out, the Mercers are funding Breitbart, right? Now, on the left, there are other media ventures on the left. Media Matters is funded by Center for American Progress and Soros and that.
Well, Media Matters, is that David Brock?
It's David Brock, yes.
He's the once and future right-winger. And
that's
you
right.
Know, and definitely not on the left.
He's a Hillary. But again, I'm using the term broadly. There's the left and the right. Media Matters is clearly on the left.
But
Breitbart's clearly
on the
right.
It's serving the elite.
And
I could make
the argument that Breitbart's not on the traditional. The first time I ever talked to Andrew Breitbart, he said, I hate the establishment Republicans. Very first conversation. And this is why I knew I liked the guy. But my point is that both new media companies all over the left and right are funded by other people who figured out this loss leader
thing. Well, exactly. And the nefarious thing about this is if you have somebody with a deregulatory agenda, or
yeah.
their agenda is to prevent Trump from doing something or to prevent Congress from doing something, and they buy a media outlet and start insinuating that subtly into the news, that's propaganda.
But see, here's what I tell people. I tell people, listen to every source. And look, we're on Sputnik right now. It's publicly funded by Russia, but Russia, okay? So factor that in. If you listen to Sputnik, which you are right now, and we say stuff about Russia, don't take our word for it. Go look it up. I urge everybody to be a little skeptical of every source they hear. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, especially if it's a corporate mouthpiece that will say something like, this is a perfectly safe product, and then they go to a commercial for that product.
That's exactly right. Anyway, coming back up, we will talk in the third round about this new saber rattling about North Korea. You are listening to Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan.
Fault Lines.
We are back. Round three of Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan with special guests, the Communications Director of the Progressive Democrats of America, Mike Hirsch, filling in for the great Garland Nixon all week here. Time for round three. By the way, if you're listening to us on 105.5 FM here inside the swamp, and by the way, bluegrass fits with the swamp metaphor so well that I won't even, I'll just leave it laying
swamp
right there.
Grass.
Swamp grass, that's right. But if you're listening to us on 105.5, hey, do us a favor, don't crash your car when we go anti-establishment on you, because just keep your hands at 10 and 2. That's what I'm saying. Just keep driving.
Eyes on the road.
Keep your eyes on the road. And again, of course, please, if you're watching us on Facebook, if you're watching us on Periscope,
don't be driving.
No, you can do, well, yeah.
If you're watching.
That's a good point.
Don't drive, and if you're driving, don't watch.
But
until
tell
you
your friends.
Home.
I like to tell people, see, here's the thing. We get to do these long 20-minute segments, and we're not filled with ads. So therefore, I like to be our own ads. Interstitials, they call them.
There you go.
And I like to remind people that you should share this. And what's interesting is, we're watching on Periscope the numbers, because I can see our numbers. It's growing and growing, which I appreciate. So thanks very much for everybody. Oh, hey, by the way, since we're doing that, I have firemcmaster.com. That's going to be up in an hour or two, something like that. So check that out. We talked about that story earlier in the week. And you can see it's going to have a lot of information about why I think McMaster should be fired. You know, one thing that's interesting, let me just say this about this. There was an article on Medium today that went after me. The Atlantic Council did an article, and they point out that I'm a Russian bot or whatever. Here's what's interesting about that. Their argument is, Fire McMaster, CNN has made this argument. The Fire McMaster movement is a Russian plot.
They said like 60 Russian bots.
Yes.
Is that what they were?
And I'm one of them. Now, here's what's interesting about that. Number one.
You're the number one. Don't be modest. Well, you're the number one Russian bot.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's what the article on Medium
says.
That's
what they're trying to claim, yeah.
If you look up Fire McMaster on Medium, you'll find the article. It was written by the Defense Forensics or something like that, Digital Forensics Group of the Atlanta Council. Here's what's interesting. Two things. Number one, as you know, Mike, Mindia, who's our producer here, is gone. He's in Moscow.
Right.
You and I have been doing the meetings for the past couple of days.
That's a good point.
With no Mindia whatsoever.
No, it's just you and me.
Yes.
And we did it yesterday.
Yes.
And nobody contacted me to say, you have to do more of this, you can't do. Actually, they told me, speak more into the microphone.
There you go.
That's really about it. They just want my voice more clear.
Those Kremlin puppets.
Whatever I want to say.
Kremlin.
So between the two of us just get together
right.
and decide what we're going to talk about. Zero interference. As a matter of fact, you're getting, the listeners, you are getting more clear information with less interference, with zero interference, less interference than any place else on your radio dial
and
any place else on cable. I mean, we're basically one step above a couple people with a YouTube channel just saying whatever comes into our head.
It is, but we're also on 105.5 FM and international and all that.
Exactly.
Now, here's the other interesting thing.
We've got an app and everything. So
when Garland and I talked about Fire McMaster last week, now don't forget, their theory is this is a Russian propaganda move. So first off, nobody told me to do Fire McMaster because no one could. But second off, here's how bad they are at Russian propaganda here at Sputnik. Garland said we should keep McMaster.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And Garland tweeted about whether he's in two minds, you know, of two minds about it. He doesn't like McMaster, and he doesn't like the people McMaster's firing. So,
yeah,
he doesn't
right.
He doesn't really, he's not pro or anti McMaster per se.
But he was saying his argument on the air was keep him. That's what he was saying on the air was keep him. And my whole point is that it's interesting how when they don't say, it's a Russian plot to keep McMaster.
Although if you had keep McMaster, hashtag
they
keep
might.
McMaster, they might accuse you then of being a pro-McMaster Russian pop.
It's selective. And by the way, I don't think there's a single other show on Sputnik that is saying fire McMaster because I'm the only Trump supporter
you're on this entire network. You've started a movement now. But when you started the movement, how many people were saying fire McMaster?
I hadn't seen anybody. I didn't see anybody else.
No.
Say it.
So this.
But somebody else may. It's
so
not a genius meme or
anything. Unless they're claiming
that
you, Lee Stranahan, are pulling the strings to make Russia do what Russia wants. Maybe they've got you.
That's a good point.
Maybe you're the single most powerful person on the planet.
You've got a good point. I am the Kremlin puppet master.
That's right.
I am controlling. Vladimir Putin, listen to me.
Yeah, we're going to get fired in about 2 seconds.
I don't think so. You know, I do that little thing. I talk about Putin all the time because I just don't care. I just don't care. I'm not worried about it.
That's the thing. You know, I'm joking about it, but that's why, you know, and if you don't believe what Lee says or you don't believe what I say, you know, check it out. Make up your own mind. We are the most independent show in D.C.
Yeah, I got to say, it's really true.
This is the most independent station.
And that's why you should tell all your friends about
it. Tell all your friends. You're not going to hear this stuff anywhere else because somewhere else, you know, ExxonMobil doesn't want it out or Monsanto doesn't want it out or Greenpeace or, you know, whoever is exerting pressure on anybody.
Let's talk about the sanctions because this relates directly
exactly.
to what we're talking about. These sanctions that were passed overwhelmingly by Congress, Democrats and Republicans all agree that Russia's awful.
It was nearly unanimous, the
right?
sanctions.
They all agree that Iran's awful. And by the way, I'm not a huge Iran fan, but I'll drill down on that in a second. And they all agree North Korea's awful. And on that one, I'm not a big North Korea fan.
Well, to me, this is like Axis of Evil 2.
Yeah, it is. It's
you know,
the same groups from the Axis of Evil.
The repeated quagmires. You know, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's, this is something I've seldom seen a response as rapid to anything Congress does. Usually what Congress does takes months or even years to have any impact, if it has any impact at all. But this is already having an impact, an adverse impact against U.S. interests internationally. especially in Europe. The European Union doesn't want to be sucked into this squabble. There's an emerging coalition that I see, an emerging coalition in Germany built around the idea that Germany's going to chart its own course and warm up to Russia. These sanctions are already backfiring, and I don't think they've even printed them out yet.
Well, actually, you know, you mentioned this is Axis of Evil 2. Have you heard the trailer for Axis of Evil 2, by the way?
Is it going to be for Christmas release?
I mean, for Christmas. It's actually, if we can just get the music going, we'll just hear a little bit of the trailer for Axis of Evil 2 coming to theaters near you.
In a world where Russian bots control your mind, three countries threaten the United States: Iran, North Korea, and Russia. Coming to theaters this Christmas with Hillary Clinton, it's time for Axis of Evil 2, Revenge of the Neocons. That's what's coming. Thank you very much. God bless you, everybody. Drive safely. I just thought, our control room was so confused while I was calling for music there, and I feel badly for them, but I wanted to be able to do
great.
My...
They stepped up really
in a
well.
World.
And you did a great job.
In a world.
So what's happening is, and again, I separate these things out because I view Russia as different than Iran, and I view Iran as different than North Korea. And in the North Korea situation, we talk about what's happening with North Korea. Look, North Korea is clearly being threatening on a constant basis in a way that, let's say, Russia is not. If Russia was like, we're going, you know, launching ICBMs and pointing out that they don't have to because we know they could hit us, right?
No question.
That's established. Right. So,
yeah, mutually assured destruction came about in the 60s and it's still valid today.
And I've said this before. I don't see Vladimir Putin banging his shoe on the table and saying, we will bury you, which we've had. We've had Khrushchev did that, if I remember correctly.
He did that, yes.
And so I view the North Korea situation as different. But what they did was by packaging all of these things together and by demonizing Russia over the past few months. Now, the Iran situation, I said, let me drill down on that because that's the one that's a little more muddled to me. First off, I remember, as everybody does, the Iran hostage crisis and that whole thing. That being said, here's what's happening now. We have a situation where Rex Tillerson, who's our Secretary of State, came out and it would be laughable if it weren't so sad statement, recently said, the country behind terrorism in the world, drum roll please, is Iran. This is just crazy.
Makes no sense.
All of the terrorism, we've seen a big rise in terrorism in the past few years. I'm going to name the groups. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram. Who am I leaving out? I'm leaving out one of the big ones. Who am I leaving out? ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram. There's another one. Oh, Ansar al-Sharia. That's the group in Libya who killed Christopher Stevens and three other people in Benghazi. These groups have one thing in common. Oh, they have two things in common. They're all Sunni fundamentalist groups. And they therefore all had the backing of people like Saudi Arabia, for instance, who funded these groups through an organization called the Muslim World League. Now, why doesn't Tillerson say, and by the way, the Saudis have admitted this, why doesn't he come out and say that these are Sunni groups? Because what Iran is, and here's Islam 101. You got Sunni and Shia, right? Sunnis are a majority. Most Muslims are Sunni. Shia is a minority. Forget why. The strict difference has to do with basically a line of succession after Muhammad died.
Right, who gets to speak for the faith.
Who gets to speak for the faith. After the Prophet Muhammad died.
And for Americans, it might be interesting to compare that to Catholicism versus Protestantism, where Catholics believe the Pope speaks for the faith, Protestants don't.
Right, but this split happened right after the death of Muhammad. The Catholic-Protestant thing took a while to develop. This split in Islam happened immediately, by which I'm pointing out this Sunni-Shia split is so fundamental to Islam.
Well, it's centuries old.
It's certainly centuries old. It goes back to the founding of Islam, basically, right? Like I say, literally right after the death. But that's it, again, without getting into the weeds.
And the relevance for today is that there are factions.
Yes.
And the factions are led by Saudi Arabia on one side, and then the other is just kind of everybody else. There's Turkey,
but Iran, and Syria are both Shia countries. And by the way, when I say they're Shia countries, that doesn't mean they're Shia majority countries. So, for instance, in Syria, the Shia, and they're specific, if you think of it as Catholic versus Protestant, there's still subsects of Protestantism, and even subsects of Catholicism. Episcopalianism, for instance, is kind of Catholic, but not exactly, right? Or
right.
The Orthodox religions, Greek
right.
Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, right. are sort of Catholic, but not
it
really.
Gets complicated.
Right, it gets complicated, but with Shia and Sunni, there are also the Wahhabist.
And what's also very interesting is that although Iran does have the clerics that are kind of in charge of
that's right.
the country, they are traditionally a more of a secular society than what Saudi Arabia
yes, as
has
is
been.
Syria, which
and
was
Syria has been very secular.
Syria's been very secular.
And Turkey has kind of swung back and forth, but Turkey is also counterbalancing.
Yes.
And then you have Qatar trying to make their way through this whole thing, and they're reluctant to choose sides, and because of that, they're being targeted by this Saudi clique.
And so when I see Tillerson come out and say that Iran is behind terrorism, it's just factually
it's
mistaken.
Wrong. It's wrong.
And by the way, me saying that doesn't mean I'm saying Iran, yay, awesome. I'm not vacationing
right.
in Tehran.
Right. No. It's not a good idea.
But here,
anybody listening.
But I'll tell you, here's the other factor, though. And the reason it might be not a great idea, but what's interesting about Iran is the young people in Iran are clearly very affected by the West. You know, I
yes.
saw this when I went to Beirut. It was very interesting when I went to Beirut, Lebanon in 2013. It's clearly very Western influenced. There's no question.
This is what
it.
A lot of Americans don't understand is that the young people worldwide
yes.
watch American movies, listen to American music, adopt American fashions, and they're very open to listening to America.
And yes, that's exactly right. Yes. And you would see logos walking down the street in Beirut. You'd see Adidas and all the American corporate
logos. You think
logos.
You were at a shopping mall in like Akron, Ohio or something.
Well,
it's
I
not
tell
that
this
much
to
different.
People. This is everything I'm about to say is true. I realized that Beirut was not exactly what I thought it would be before I went there. When I was at the mall standing in front of the lingerie store that's down from the P.F. Chang's and by the Cronut place. And this is all true. I was standing in front of a lingerie store at a...
I'm not going to ask you why you were standing in front of a lingerie store.
Well, because I was at the mall. And
yeah,
I was...
Well, there are other places to stand in front of, but
because I'll tell you why, because I
just
don't...
Just getting a gift for the wife.
I don't... No. Here's what it was. I was walking through the mall and I did a double take and I'm like, why am I seeing a Victoria's Secret style lingerie display in Beirut, Lebanon? I thought it would be like a burqa display.
You remember the name of it?
It was not
Victoria's Secret.
But there was, I went to the Radio Shack. This is true. I went to the Radio Shack. I went to Caribou Coffee. There was a P.F. Chang's, and it's P.F. Chang's. There were Cronuts, right? And so that's the mall I was at in Beirut. But it was the lingerie shop that stopped me because I was like, wait a minute. This isn't supposed to be, right? It's supposed to be, I go over and there's a camel and a lady in a burqa and a pile of hummus or something like that. That's what it's supposed to be. But I was like, wait a minute, what am I looking at?
A little bit of a culture shock.
It was.
In reverse, kind of.
And so Iran has that pull. But for Tillerson to come out and say the opposite. Now, what's happened with these sanctions is that suddenly people in Europe, there's the unintended consequences part. People in Europe, including Germany, for instance, are looking at the U.S. sanctions that were passed overwhelmingly by Congress.
Yep.
And going, hey, well, maybe we want to deal with Russia.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. If you're going to have sanctions, you have to have pretty much the entire world behind you. Because partial sanctions, it's like a partial dam across a river. It's useless. And this is not going to bring up about any benefits to the country. And as a matter of fact, it's squandering an opportunity for the United States to increase influence with the hearts and minds when people over in these countries. It just makes us look petulant and ineffective. And Lee, as you mentioned, it's driving Germany into a different direction. Frustrating the EU, and it's complicating our way forward. So,
well, and I think here's the other thing about it too, and this is really important to note about this. And by the way, if you just heard children screaming, that was my children screaming on my iPad. That's all. But here's the other thing that's complicated about this. In the case of North Korea, we have the world critical of them. We have this huge UN resolution.
Exactly.
Right?
Where Russia and China backed us. And
that's
China,
right.
China is very reluctant
yes.
to support us at the UN on something this
you know, and we should talk,
historic.
Let's talk about this tomorrow, too, because the other thing you need to understand is about the U.S. putting in missile defense systems. This affects Ukraine. This is part of what Russia
a big
was
issue.
Concerned about in Ukraine. Was the U.S. putting in a missile defense system. And by the way, it's the same issue in Korea,
yep.
where we're putting this missile defense system. And again, I'm not, for the purposes of our discussion now, I'm not taking a pro or anti position. I'm saying, literally, I think the American people are not told about this enough.
At all.
Yes, they're
At
not.
All.
It doesn't. They don't have it explained to them. That, look, we're putting in these missile defense systems. And China, for instance, feels threatened by our missile defense system in Korea,
yep.
the same way Russia did by our one in Ukraine.
Yes.
So there we go. Anyway, that'll wrap up our show for today.
But tune in tomorrow.
When we'll be talking about this whole North Korea situation, this is going to continue to evolve as we get more and more people. I'm sure we're going to get Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and John McCain, everybody else reacting to Donald Trump's statement. We will bring you more tomorrow. You are listening to the most disruptive radio show in America. It is Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan, joined all this week by Mike Hirsch.
Fault Lines.